The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by... we'll get back to you on that. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles, right here on ToyWorldOrder.com. Welcome my wonderful co-host, Dave Draper!
Yay!
Yay! Oh, it's just old Dave and I this week.
Well, fine.
Just us, back to
We're
basics.
Not good enough for you.
I know, right? No fan questions this week.
That's because somebody didn't...
No,
somebody
I just...
was lazy.
No, I figured I just want to take a week off from fan questions and just sit around and chat about some stuff.
All
right. About some toy stuff and...
There's toy stuff to chat about?
Well, we'll find something to chat about.
Sure.
You know, Dave and I went to see a movie on Friday.
What?
I figured we'd open with that. I know, right? It's a movie that's really polarized a lot of the internet, man.
It's not worth it. It's not worth polarizing. I mean, well, I'll let you keep going, and then
I agree. It's not worth polarizing. It's not nearly as bad as people were claiming it was going to be at the beginning. Like, I don't think it really raped anyone's childhoods.
No.
I don't think it did any of that. even though this is your favorite version, it was far better than the third film. Although you liked the third film. It was better than the TV series that they did, the live-action television series.
Oh, well. I never saw that.
And it really didn't... Dave and I, of course, if you haven't figured it out yet, we went to go see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on Friday. It's not a great movie, but it's not the worst movie ever made either.
It was watchable.
It was watchable. There were a number of entertaining parts to it that, I think we've made it clear on this show that I don't go into these films with any, I don't go in with that thought of, oh, the rape of my childhood, or it's going to be so horrible, or it's going to be awful. I just go in with a clean slate and an open mind and go, nah, I'm either going to have fun or I'm not going to have fun. And I had fun. I thought it was a lot of fun. There was, we finally got a turtle movie again where they got to use their weapons.
Yeah.
That wasn't animated because that was something they kind of reined back from in the old live action versions after the first film was there was less emphasis on using weapons. The second film especially, I don't think anyone ever uses their weapons once on a villain or on an enemy. It's always stuff
they
around
sausages.
Them. Yes, they do cold cuts. There were some irritating things about it that I thought, yeah, but didn't really bother me as much. I know the change of their
origin
story has kind of rubbed people the wrong way, which it's actually, from what I understand, I haven't read the IDW comic series, but it actually sounds like they went more in that direction because the IDW comic series kind of rebooted the Turtles and started from scratch, and basically that was... pretty much the storyline they conveyed was that it was April's father, and they were lab, were they, not April's father, but they were lab experiments, and, you know, kind of the same idea. I'm going to try to not spoil this for anyone, so if no one wants to hear the conversation, because I'm not really going to spoil anything major in it.
Is there anything major to really spoil in a movie like Teenage Mutant Ninja
Turtles? No, I don't think so. You pretty much know you're going to get...
I mean, the turtles show up. You know from the trailers that they fight Shredder because that's who they... Aside from the third movie, which is why I like that one, that's who they always ever fight.
True.
Is Shredder. I mean, there's the one question about whether or not who Shredder is, which I, is complicated by the fact that they did heavy reshoots.
Right, right, right.
And changed it.
Right.
But, I mean, spoiler alert, the Turtles win at the end and defeat Shredder. Oh, my God.
Yes.
And you can say that about 90% of the movies we see, I mean, the odds are the Avengers are going to beat Ultron.
True. Very true.
The odds are Batman and Superman will beat whoever they're fighting against. I mean, that's just the way these movies work. It never ends with the guys dying and losing.
Right.
Rarely. I mean, sometimes you have, someone wants to be a downer. I think the closest recently was Nolan's Dark Knight, where, even though he stops the Joker and stops Two-Face, he's still kind of on the run.
Right.
On the run from the police. That's about the biggest kind of twist these genre movies have. But, I mean, the Turtles fight Shredder and stop him.
Yeah.
The only real question is the specifics.
Yeah, I agree. They erased Hamato Yoshi completely out of the story, and Splinter learns ninjutsu from a book he found in the sewer, which is not plausible. That's super stupid. They changed it because originally William Fincher's character Eric Sachs was supposed to be actually the Shredder.
Supposedly, in the novelization, he still is.
Yes,
from what I understand.
So he was supposed to be the Shredder, which is why there was no in the early trailers and stuff. There was no mention of Oroko Saki. There was no Hamato Yoshi. That's why Hamato Yoshi doesn't exist in this version, because technically there wasn't, because of Eric Sachs being the Shredder. But of course, since the fans kind of revolted over the fact that, well, that's silly, they kind of went back and reshot things and added in characters like
Japanese guy.
Yeah, added in, I don't remember the actor's name, but added him in as Oroko Saki, basically, as...
They never mentioned his name, though. No. He's the Shredder. Yeah, he's the Shredder. I don't think they added in Karari. I think she was always... Karai. I think she was always part of the thing. She was in too much stuff to have been added in.
Yeah, but I think the reshoots, they
Bill, they had her around for the reshoots. Yeah, around for the reshoots.
I don't know. It was those were really the couple only weird things for me in that film was.
One thing that I saw someone else mention, so I this didn't come from me, but it clicked with me when they mentioned it, is they had the same thing that they did with the Lone Ranger movie last year, where like their catchphrase. They were embarrassed by it.
There's a whole scene
where Raphael's like, okay, Mikey, go ahead and say it. Even though I said never say go ahead and say it. Because, it's like, you're doing a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie. Really, is it too stupid for them to say cowabunga?
Is that
so embarrassing in your movie about mutant ninja turtles that they can't say their catchphrase?
Yeah, that was silly. I mean, there were elements about it. I know I saw a lot of vocal outcry about the fact that they sound like all the turtles sound like thugs. Somebody was they're all black, and I'm like,
Gonna say they're all black.
That's what somebody said. They were like, they're all black. That's kind of silly to say.
I was going a different way in that I really felt there's a couple scenes early on with Leonardo and April where he was really kind of menacing to her, and I'm like I could see Raph being that way, but like Leo to me has always been like the noble heroic knight, and
right.
I don't know. I didn't necessarily like the way he was portrayed, especially early on. I think once they got going a little more, they did a little bit of better job. I mean, there's a look, dude. I don't think even one of us is really defending this movie.
No, the way we
would defend something like Guardians or Lego Movie. That was like really good. I think the argument we're making is that it's not.
Terrible.
Like, Transformers 4, abysmal.
No, Transformers 4 was pretty darn abysmal.
It's weird to me that people are being this upset about it.
That it's polarizing this much.
Well, because, oh my god. First of all, I mean, go back and watch those early movies.
They're not great. No.
They were junky things for kids to go watch and enjoy. I mean, they were kids' movies. They were movies for kids. This is a movie for kids. And here's the thing. Your favorite moment in the movie and my favorite moment in the movie had nothing to do with the movie. Had to do with like a 9-year-old boy, an 8-year-old boy in the theater, and during the big chase on the mountain, the snow chase, there's a scene which is in all the commercials.
Yep, where Raphael gets thrown into the side of one of the cruisers using a shell.
And a little boy in the audience went, awesome!
Yeah.
And Jason's face just lit up. And
because I knew in that instant that the audience the film was really made for.
But that was always who this film was made for. That's one of the... If you want to knock the film, I would knock it for some of the inappropriate sexual stuff between Mikey and April.
Yeah.
Because...
I can feel my shell tightening.
Yeah, that would be my big thing, because it really was a movie for kids. It was intended for kids. It's literally the 90s over again, where you had the cartoon, and then you had a movie that's separate from the cartoon.
Yes.
And the movie's big because of the kid audience. This movie was always going to make bank, guys.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how to break it to you, but it was always going to make bank.
Oh, yeah.
And it was probably always going to beat Guardians.
Yep.
Because just it was new. The kids wanted to go see it,
Yeah.
And
Turtles was, even though Guardians is a franchise film, it's a Marvel film, people are going to go to it anyway. Turtles, I think, had more pull on the kids' audience because of the current...
Because of the cartoon, the Nicktoon. Yeah. I mean, Turtles is the one toy line in America that's successful.
Yes, exactly.
That's
extremely successful. So,
this movie was always going to make bank, and to get upset about that is dumb. I mean, it's just...
Well, and I see a lot of people, especially even some of our fans, not on our page, but, other friends with some of them, of course, on other pages and on some of the Turtle pages, and just the amount of bickering and arguing and name calling. It's just like, guys, really, you know, I keep seeing people go back to Michael Bay had his fingerprints all over this. It's still a Michael Bay film. Not really.
No, it felt very Michael Bay.
Some of it did, but I wouldn't say it was like, no. It wasn't Transformers 4.
Well, yeah, but so few films are.
Thank God. You know, I saw a lot of people talking about how they were still upset that they, you know, they looked so horrid, and people were kind of...
I mostly got over that pretty quick.
Yeah. I mean, once you really saw them in action, you were like, yeah.
To me, I mean, really the analogy that I use over and over again is the first Transformers movie. I didn't like the designs, but once you watch the movie, I accepted them.
Right.
I mean, to this day, I still don't particularly like Bayformers.
No.
And I still don't particularly like the Turtles' designs. But in the movie, I could accept them.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the thing. It's weird that we're in this position of trying to defend this movie that I don't think either one of us really liked that much.
No, I mean, okay, I liked it. I didn't love it.
I didn't hate it.
It's something that I will give a couple of repeat viewings once it comes out on video.
I won't. I have no desire to revisit it. But I didn't walk out like going, oh my god, that was everything that I expected it to be in terms of awfulness.
Only because I'm curious when it comes out on video, or you know, it comes out on DVD and Blu-ray, if they have a bunch of deleted scenes. Because I watched just before it opened, they released an official release of just B-roll footage from the set, mostly of Megan Fox and of what's his face that plays Vern,
Will Arnett.
Just a lot of that. And there were scenes with them in the turtle lair. And you could see them sitting there talking to one another. You couldn't really make it out. And they would
both... I don't remember Will Arnett being
exactly.
In the turtle
this
lair.
Was all B-roll. And they turned at one point. You could hear Michelangelo say, or the actor that was playing him say, "You ready for the tour?" And Will Arnett, and they both, you know, Megan Fox and Will Arnett stand up. And he goes, you hear Michelangelo go, "Oh, not you, dude. You sit back down." And Will Arnett goes, "Okay." And sits back down, but he takes his phone out and is taking pictures. And I'm like, where was all that in the movie? I'm like, what was going on there? Because that never happened. You know, there's a whole scene, I guess, where Will Arnett's been talking about it on the talk show scene, what a big scene of his and Megan Fox got cut, where they actually took on like 30 foot soldier guys in a fight. Like, they actually beat them.
Hmm.
And that all got cut. And I was like, well, I wonder how that fits in the film, because that's interesting. So I'm kind of curious when it comes out, and it's already been announced on Blu-ray, I think. You know, they already
announced a sequel.
They already announced a sequel for 2016, so 2 years from from now. Which, well, I mean, we'll see when it comes out.
You'll drag me to it, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Well, you're gonna drag me to Star Wars, so.
Really, you're making that comparison?
Yeah, not really, but
that's like when my friend made the comparison between, well, you know, you got me to watch Lost, and I got you to watch Heroes. Like, no, I got you to watch a good show.
That's true. I mean, overall, I don't get the polarizing nature of the film. I mean,
I don't get getting upset about it.
No, it's really, at the end of the day, it's nothing to argue and complain about. It's nothing to try to fight your point on whether you're right that it's a horrible, awful, bad movie and they destroyed everything the Turtles stood for, which
I mean,
they didn't.
Here's the thing. If you don't like this movie, yeah, I get it. It's pretty obvious. It's a badly done movie.
Right.
It's not written well. There's a lot to hate. I think, you know... I don't want to say that it completely embarrassed, you know, I don't think it completely destroys the legacy of the Turtles, because they've gone through a lot of really stupid stuff in the past. Some of which we've seen.
Venus de Milo.
Yeah, I mean, and then the turtle, the stage show.
But I kind of like coming out of our shells. That's only because I saw it live.
See, there you go. But that's my point, is this is a franchise that survived a lot of mutations, if you will, and a lot of them were really
nice
terrible.
Analogy.
I know. Yeah. But point being, it's one of those things, like, I just sort of shrug it off and move on. I know there are people like, well, this is our opportunity to get a movie. Yeah, you got it. It didn't work. Move on.
Yeah.
You know, like, just watch the next show, because apparently that's pretty good.
Yes. Which I still have not watched all of yet.
I really don't want to get into it with another fandom. I like Turtles. I have the big collector's editions of the early Eastman and Laird issues. You know, I played the side-scrolling game in Aladdin's Castle back in the day. I have the first issue original Leonardo figure.
Yeah.
Because of that game, because I always played Leonardo. I like Leonardo. I like Turtles. I saw the first movie in the theater. I don't know why we missed the second one, but I saw the third movie in the theater.
Yeah.
All right? I like it well enough, but it's just... I think because it was late in the game,
Right.
I was in high school when it hit really big, and in college when the movie came out. You know, it's one of those things, like, I like it well enough. It's like Transformers. I like it well enough, but you have to really screw it up to upset me about it.
Right.
Like Transformers 4 level, screw it up.
Right.
To really upset me about it. And even then, I'm not going to be that upset about it, because it's just not my franchise, and I'm not that worried about it. No. And I've got other things to sweat.
Like whether or not Star Wars 7 is actually going to be good.
It's going to be good. Come on. Abrams is a good director. You know, the fault with Into Darkness was the script.
Right.
And Kasdan is writing the script.
Yes.
So I am ridiculously excited. And all the buzz from the set is like, it's really good.
Yeah.
So I gotta learn to like temper my expectations down.
And Harrison Ford's foot's almost healed.
Yay! So he healed really quick.
Well, I don't think it was brittle. I think it literally like crushed his foot almost.
Well, he's like 70 something.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I think we'll get to that a little later on in the show, but I was telling someone the other day, you got to be prepared, because we're hitting that period of our lives where the people that that created our childhood and created our past, they're all like 70, 80 years old.
Yeah, they're getting long in the tooth. Their mortal coil is beginning to unwind.
I have no idea how Stan Lee is still alive, frankly. That's amazing.
The man enjoys his life and doesn't want to let it go?
Apparently, literally stole poor Kirby's soul or something.
He stole everybody's soul.
There's a jar somewhere. There's a jar of Jack Kirby. Or he has a picture of Jack Kirby in his attic that just keeps getting older and older.
While Stan stays the same age. We can't talk bad about Stan. Stan's a good man.
Stan's amazing, but...
He's a great man for... God, what is he now? 87?
103?
No, he's not that old. Although, right. I wouldn't be surprised if he hits that age and he's still doing convention tours. It's ridiculous. Redonkulous. You know, the tour world's kind of been quiet this week, and Dave and I, you know, it's been one of those weeks. Of course, we're this far out from Comic-Con, and we did, you know, no guests this week.
Yeah, it's you know, the big reveals were at Comic-Con, everything slowed down. Everything, you know, we're in that really kind of crummy period of the year where stuff's just going to start coming out.
Right.
For the Christmas rush. Like, everything we've seen, you know, we're at that point in the year where we've seen what's coming out, basically. There'll be one or two surprises. But mostly, we know what's coming out. It's just going to come out, hit Christmas, then we hit the January reset, and then it's Toy Fair.
Yeah.
So, news-wise, it's going to be pretty slow.
Yeah. It's not a lot going on, I mean, other than the fact that, you know, when we went to see Turtles on Friday, I actually ended up joining you at Toys R Us that morning,
because yes,
I was off and out. And
Which is amusing to me, because in the review we did... For the Star Wars Black Jabba the Hutt, you're like, so I think these are only at Target. And you were there I bought it at Toys R Us.
I was there. I wasn't thinking straight when I was doing that. Mostly because I was reacting to the puppet, so.
Don't make me a Shadow Warrior.
But Dave bought David ended up buying a bunch of toys.
A lot of them were somebody else.
Yeah, a lot of them were somebody else.
I will say. Which he already picked up his stuff, because they got in the three packs for G.I. Joe finally.
Yep. And I walked in there and found him, of course, in the aisle. I knew I was going to find him.
And you're like, Dave. I'm like, who is that?
Yeah, and you're like, oh my God. Jason DeVall. I was like, hey, what's going on? And of course, Dave's arms are filled to the brim. And I'm like, what are you buying? He's like, everything.
Lots of stuff. Well, and the funny thing was, I'd posted on the group, or I posted somewhere, because I just wanted people
to know. It was on the fan group.
Because I wanted, it may not have been, because I wanted certain people to know that I was busy that day.
Oh, yeah.
So that I didn't get a phone call like
right.
I was at the movie
right.
And people panic and go, oh my God, where were you? Were you dead? So, and I said, you know, I'm taking the dog to the park, I'm going to Toys R Us, and then I'm going to go see the movie. And Patrick Sinatra was like, what do you have left to buy at Toys R Us?
Yes, what is there left to find that you haven't found already?
So, Planet of the Apes figures?
Yeah, Planet of the Apes figures,
G.I. Joe 3 packs. Star Wars Black,
Jabba the Hutt, and... Yeah, you posted on later that night on Facebook, and you were like,
here's... Oh, and then, ironically, the one toy I've been looking for all summer, which was the Transformers 4, Grimlock, and Optimus Prime Potato Heads.
Oh, the Potato Heads. Yeah.
I wanted those from the minute they showed up at Toy Fair.
Yep. You were like, oh my God, I must have those.
I was like, oh my God, that finally came out!
I've been looking for that forever. Grimlock, which is pretty cool.
Yep.
And the first thing you did was make him eat Optimus Spud.
Pretty much.
Oh, David.
And I got texts from Wheelers for like 3 days talking about potatoes.
Oh my God.
I was just like, really, let it go.
Let it go. Let it go.
Now I'm going to get text for 3 days from Wheeler about saying that on the show.
I know. It's fine. You know, Dave and I actually were ramping up in September. We are going to make, Dave will make a second trek, and I will go with him for the first trek to the Ohio Toy Show. The
Columbus Toy Show, yeah.
The Columbus, Ohio Toy Show.
Rooms are booked.
Room is booked.
Well, because we're going to talk about the other thing.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to that. I'm not going to have a whole lot of money to spend. You know, I've got to give you $30
for
the room.
I will have money. Yeah.
I got to give you $30 for the room still, but
probably.
I won't have a whole lot of money to spend. I'm really mostly going because I really, of course, we're going to be meeting.
Hopefully, yeah. There's a lot of people that I hope.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's Patrick Sinatra.
Patrick Sinatra, Chad Plouffe.
I think Chuck from Star Joe's.
Chuck from Star Joe's
might be there this time.
Might be there.
He was the guy who actually told us about it in the first place. He wasn't there when I went.
Yep. So,
although I've met him before.
So yeah. But I'm looking forward to meeting people, you know, that I haven't got to meet, that I'm friends with on the fan group and on Facebook, that I've spoken to, that I bought toys and sold toys to. You know, I'm looking forward to meeting those guys.
So. I'm looking forward to you talking to them and taking their attention while I go run around and buy toys.
While you run around and buy all the stuff before Patrick and Chad can.
Exactly. You're my secret weapon. You're my wingman.
Oh, man.
You're my goose.
I'm your goose. I'm looking forward to it, though. I've got a few things to... of course, you know, I'm working on taking care of my toy debt, but I've got a few things still laying around the lair down here that I can sell.
Oh, are you going to, like, bring, like some sad sort of Dickensian character wandering around? Please, sir.
No,
will you
no,
buy
no.
my pony
no,
toy?
I've got some stuff to list on the Facebook groups. I've got a set of the San Diego Comic-Con Thundercat Minimates that I don't really want anymore that I can sell, and, I got an early release of Frankie Stein from Monster High, and if DOS ever buys this Masters of the Universe Molar set.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've got the big 12-inch Ghost Rider that came out from Toy Biz from the Ghost Rider movie.
That?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't need him anymore. Let somebody else have him. Somebody else give him a good home.
I didn't know that you needed him before.
Oh, well.
For a while there, you needed him, and now he's done. It's like the Lone Ranger or something. You've done your job. Now it's time to go on and find some other family.
He was given to me a long time ago.
Like shake weight.
And it's just like now he's just been sitting up there collecting dust, and especially since I'm not doing a whole lot of superhero stuff anymore. It's like I don't really need him hanging around anymore.
Mm.
He can find a new home. So there's some stuff to sell.
Yeah, that's a cool toy.
Yep. And then a couple weeks after that, I think, is CoilCon.
No. The week after that.
The week after that is CoilCon.
No. Like, it's that weekend's Columbus Toy Show, and then the next Saturday is CoilCon. And then I have family coming into town in the middle of that week.
Yep.
I was like, goody.
So
thanks, guys.
Dave has booked his room for CoilCon, and I may or may not be going with him to CoilCon, mostly because I'd like to make the trip. Just one, because I'd like to go to Kokomo Toys. Even though I know that CoilCon's a different place, I know that they're still...
Yeah, they're talking about a trip to Coil... They're talking about at CoilCon doing a trip to Kokomo.
So I kind of would like to go, because I've never been to Kokomo.
I've never been to the new store.
And yeah, especially since they moved to the new store. It's massive, and I kind of want to go see that.
You know, I actually want to go mostly for the night before. That's one of the reasons that I did book a hotel room, because I have family that lives in Indianapolis, and I could have just stayed with them.
Right.
I really kind of want to go to the hotel and hang out with Mike Irizarry. I don't know why, but... You know, Eric Aranya is going to be there.
Yep. We can hang out with Eric.
Some of the other guys from, I think, noted author James Cavanaugh is going to be there.
No, noted author James Cavanaugh.
You know, Gary Gatz. The What's on Joe Mind guys are going to be there.
Yeah.
And it'll be fun for the night before, because I got to do that at last year's, not 2014, but 2013's JoeCon.
JoeCon, yeah.
I got to hang out with those guys. Yeah. It was really fun. They're a fun bunch. It's cool. It'll be cool to be part of the group.
Cool
group.
And I melt pretty much right into those guys.
You melt with everybody.
Yeah, I get along with
Eric. I think Gary Gogglehead will be there, and I know that you were hanging out with him before that one King County.
Yeah.
We went to the pizza place.
Yep.
You just went to their table and just sat there for the whole...
Yeah, well, Mike went over there, and I followed Mike because he wanted to introduce me, and you were antisocial, as per usual.
That's my thing.
Yep.
It's my thing that I do.
I'm kind of looking forward to that, you know, even though it's the week after, it's kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah, I was super thrilled about that. But
yeah.
I kind of want to go just to hang out with those guys, and then the actual con's going to be fun.
Yeah, and then...
I know Chuck's set up last year, so he might be there.
Yeah. And then King County, the following
month.
Yep. Yeah. Which we're still going. But the good thing about King County is, though, I don't think we're going to get a hotel room. I think we're just all going to drive up the morning of, me, you, because Carrie really, really wants to go to King County. And she hasn't been able to go because we always usually stay overnight. And we can't do that because of the dogs. But if we go up there in the morning and come back that day, it's not that big of a deal. Somebody can come over and check on the dogs for us. And we can, Carrie can, because she really wants to see what this convention is about. Because she's heard us talk about it. She's seen the pictures, you know. She really wants to go and dig around. Because there's a lot of stuff there for Carrie that Carrie would like, you know. We always find lots of booths of little things that...
You know what? I owe you one from a couple of years back. So, I'm not going to gripe about it.
That's true. So, but you like hanging out with Carrie.
I like Carrie. I just I kind of like the going the night before thing. I think that's...
Well, I mean, you know, we don't
as do opposed it to going up at like, you know, waking up at like 2 in the morning.
Yeah, but...
And then you got to get a shower.
It's all right. It's just one time. We'll go back to it in the spring when C2E2 rolls around. Which that's always fun. But it's going to be a cool couple of months of stuff for us, you know. Carrie and I go on vacation in early September, so I'm looking forward to that kind of... We're not doing much, hanging around the house. We'll probably go visit some antique stores we haven't been to in a while, and we'll probably fish Dave out of his house to go with us on a couple of those, just for the heck of it.
We're going to do the haunted house thing again?
Yeah, yeah. Cool. You know, last year we went to do The Darkness in October. Yep. And this year we'll be doing the same thing. We'll actually be... although there's The Darkness and there's Creepy World, they're owned by the same company. I think we're actually going to go to Creepy World this year, which is massive. It's a big kind of outdoor, there's all kinds of cool stuff they're doing this year there that sounds way better than it has been in the past. So we'll probably go do that instead of The Darkness this year. Just do something different. But it's a haunted house all the same.
Whatever.
Yeah. You still get to go.
You always get to change stuff up on me.
You won't be going to East St. Louis this time, though. So
That's true. Yeah. Since
I did a review, I think we talked about it on the show. I revealed to you that The Darkness was actually kind of in East St. Louis.
Yeah, sort of, kind of. I was super thrilled to hear that.
Yeah, no East St. Louis for you, Dave.
No.
I don't know. It's just it's been a very interesting summer for us. You know, it's been we've had a lot of fun this year. Yeah. I think we've had a ton of fun.
So much fun.
So much fun. You know, we're nearing episode 150. You know, this is episode 134.
I'm sure we will ignore it. We'll do the Hasbro route yet again for another one of our anniversary episodes. And
just... We didn't ignore the 50th.
Yes, we did. We ignored the 50th. We ignored the 100th.
Yeah.
I know we blew off the 100th.
We did blow off the 100th.
We had a plan that didn't come through.
Yeah, that didn't come through. You know, we just... I don't know. We like to celebrate the show during the show. We don't like to be like... You know, reach out to all our podcasting friends and be like, hey, send us special guests, you know, special wishes for the blah, blah, blah.
I almost thought about doing that for the 100th, like not telling you and sending stuff out to all the people that have been on the show. Like,
well, that would have been sweet. I never get surprised with anything. Nobody ever surprises me with anything.
No.
I'm never surprised with nothing.
Boo!
Oh, that didn't surprise me either. I don't get surprised ever. Although I did get a surprise birthday party once. Once.
For you.
Once.
Well, with that kind of attitude, I can see why.
My mother hit me once. Once. You know what movie that's from?
Yeah, from Johnny Dangerously.
Johnny Dangerously. It's the greatest movie ever.
Yeah, I know. We ran that into the ground back in whatever grade that was. We totally ran that into the ground.
I know. You know, though, toy news, you know what I did find it was interesting, though? Something that's popped up is that Jack's Pacific has released this line of... 4-inch scaled posable Nintendo characters and 2 large scale box deluxe figures called the World of Nintendo. And the little figures seem to be showing up at Target. It's Link, Wario, and Yoshi.
Yoshi.
And then the big scale figures are Donkey Kong and Bowser.
Those I've seen at Toys R Us.
Those have been at Toys R Us, but the other figures seem to be hitting at Targets, which is weird. I'm really surprised that. You know, Jax actually did produce a decent collectible for Nintendo stuff because we've had a lot of stuff in the past that's just been kind of junky and crappy. Really, the only good stuff we've had has been imports from like SH Figure Arts and stuff like that. So it's cool.
I missed out the whole Nintendo train. So that's one of those things.
Yeah.
I don't follow it that closely.
Yeah. It's one of those things that kind of skipped over Dave, but. It's been pretty interesting to see that those popped up. I didn't even realize they were doing those, and then suddenly it's like, oh,
you know, to me, like, there's always this section at Toys R Us that has like video game guys like Sonic and
on the very back wall. Yeah,
So, I mean, it's always out there. So, I don't know.
It's just one of those...
I just don't really pay that close attention. Like I said, I saw the Donkey Kong and the Bowser.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay.
I actually had to pick those boxes up to see who made them, because I was like, ooh, who did these? I was like, nyeh. I was like, is it... Hopefully it's not Jazzware.
Oh, well, yeah.
But thankfully it was Jack Specific, which did... Has done.
Maybe it's the British director. We'll never get the rest of the figures.
That's true.
Not that I'm bitter.
No, not at all. Then the other thing that's been showing up at Toys R Us is they've been carrying these exclusive colored Sin City movie action figures.
Saw those.
Which is pretty interesting. They're from...
I believe they're from the new one.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of who made those off the top of my head without...
I think they're Mezco, but I'm not 100% sure. Yeah,
I think they are Mezco.
I don't think they're NECA.
No. They're pretty nice looking, though. They're...
Yeah.
I know there's black and white versions of them that are out.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. But they're nice. One is
his name? There's Marv. There's Hartigan.
Marv Hartigan.
I think Jessica Alba's character has a figure, but I'm not sure.
I don't think she's part of the Toys R Us exclusive. I think it's just... That one is just Marv and Hartigan, though.
Yeah.
They look good, though. They look, you know, they look like Bruce Willis, and they look like... Well, yeah. like you know, what's his face under makeup?
I don't even know who it is under makeup, because I've gotten into an argument about whether it was Mickey Rourke came back or whether it was Josh Brolin.
No, it's Mickey Rourke.
Okay, whatever.
Because Josh Brolin's a different character.
Whatever, I give up.
Yeah.
You win. Wow. Whatever.
Did you think that it was actually Josh Brolin under the makeup?
I thought it was.
No, he's...
I never saw the first film.
Oh,
so.
Gotcha. Yeah, Rourke was the Marvin in the first one.
I thought he was a holdout and didn't come back.
No, they all came back. I think the holdout was Bruce Willis, surprise, surprise, and he came back finally.
This character died, didn't he?
He did, but he's somehow a ghost in this one. I don't know. It's weird. It's very weird. Yeah, there is a figure of Jessica Alba's character in the film, but
see,
she
one
is...
one thing I did know.
Yeah, but she is not in these, in this Toys R Us colored exclusive.
And did we ever bother to...
It is done.
Diamond Select?
Diamond Select did them. So... they look good, though. They look really cool. Smaller, you know, they're streamlined packages, smaller street bases. You know, they have all their unique accessories and articulation and stuff. All the figures were sculpted by legendary toy sculptor Jean St. John, which is pretty cool. Man's been around for decades, it feels like, now, and he's done a lot of cool stuff. He did a lot of the early McFarlane stuff, and he's done some good stuff. So, and then the other thing I saw that I thought was very interesting that I was kind of sad about was I saw that Diamond actually announced that they... canceled the X-Men Days of Future Past Mystique figure.
No, no.
Yeah, the one that we saw at C2E2. They canceled. They officially came out and said it's not happening because apparently she would not sign off on the rights to the figure.
Oh, wow.
Which is kind of sad.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's because they burned her on the stupid NECA non-articulated junky...
Hunger Games?
Yeah. So...
Could be, but there's been, like, no merchandising for X-Men Days of Future Past.
No, not at all.
And I've almost begun to wonder, because, you know, you hear... Because Marvel stopped printing Fantastic Four.
Yes, it's done.
It's... Yeah, well, for now.
For now.
For now. And they're folding the characters into other things. And then they've made a big deal about how now Inhumans are, like, the new mutants.
Right.
Like, there's not going to be any more new mutant characters. It's all going to be Inhumans.
Right.
In fact, if you notice on the new Avengers lineup, there's a guy who's basically the Human Torch.
Right.
But he's not the Human Torch, and he's an Inhuman.
Right.
Which just suspiciously all happen to be rights owned by Marvel.
Exactly.
And I almost wonder, because I assume, I don't know how the licensing thing goes, so don't jump on me too hard if I get this a little bit wrong. But I assume that when you have a situation where you have, like, Fox and you have Marvel with the licensing, that Marvel's got to sign off on it, too.
Correct.
Like, because, you know, because with the movie stuff, you know, Fox has to sign off on it.
Right.
But I bet that Marvel does, too, because they always have, you know, TM Fox, TM Marvel.
Right.
And if I were Marvel, if I were Disney, I'd just say, you know what? We're not going to sign off on any of that.
Yeah.
You're not going to get any merchandising. You're not, because that's why Sony's holding on to Spider-Man. It's not for the movie. It's for the merchandising.
Right.
And I almost wonder if, like Disney could just starve out, you know, Fox and Sony.
It's
and say,
possible.
You're not, all you get are the movies, and we're not signing off on anything else. Because literally the only thing for Days of Future Past that I ever saw were the Hardee's commercials.
Yeah.
And I think fast food tie-ins might, for some weird reason, be something that they could...
Correct.
They could control. But
yeah.
I wonder if they're trying to starve Fox out and not let them have anything.
It could be. I mean, although Fox is still... I kind of hope... Part of me hopes that they still end up working a deal out with Fox in some way, shape, or form.
From what I understand, it just keeps getting uglier.
Yep. And the thing with Sony, I really think that, you know, they canceled the Sinister Six movie. Have they canceled?
They keep canceling it and then re-announcing it and then canceling it and re-announcing it.
As of right now, it's canceled.
Okay, I missed the latest update on that.
They're pushing back the next Amazing Spider-Man film.
I know, like, they were talking about years, like a female-led Spider-Man film.
Yeah, so they're pushing that way back. But I think eventually it's going to happen to the point where it's not going to happen.
If I were Sony, I'd just sell them the rights back. I'd get as much money as you can get up front and just give it back.
Well, and that was the thing that floated around. Remember the April 1st joke that floated around, that it's like Marvel buys the rights back for $8 billion or something crazy like that. And that's still floating around. I still see people posting that going, oh my God, they're coming back. And I'm like, look at the date on that story. It's April 1st. It's not real. It's not going to happen. And people are like, oh, I was like, oh my God, that much money. And I was like, yeah, that would never happen. But
if I were Sony, I'd sell back Spider-Man. If I were Fox, I'd make a deal. I'd say I'd give them back Fantastic Four.
Right.
And like maybe split the rights to the word mutant.
Yes.
But say we'll keep X-Men. Just like ease up on us. We'll give you back Fantastic Four. We'll split the rights to use mutant.
Yeah. And it's only gotten uglier since Disney now owns Marvel. Yeah. I mean, that's Disney, of course, is an expert in this field of...
Well, I'm sure playing hardball.
Oh, God, yes. So, you know, and kudos to Disney that they're doing it right by going, you know, we want these back in our fold, you know, and Marvel Studios, by all rights, knows in their minds that we could make far better movies than have been made in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Well... minus a few couple of, you know, the Days of Future Past was really good.
The original Spider-Man movies were good.
Up till the third one.
Up till the third one. I'm not even going to defend it.
X-Men 1 and 2 were good.
X-Men 1 and 2 were good. First Class was good.
Yep.
The second Wolverine movie was good.
Yep. None of the Fantastic Four movies were any good, really.
The first one was okay.
Yeah.
It was meh. It was in the early days of the big superhero boom.
Yeah, this new one I don't think is going to do well.
It's just had a weirdly troubled... production.
The fact that they took nothing to Comic-Con for that film, even though it had finished up and they had enough time to put something together, like they took nothing to Comic-Con for that movie. There was no advertising, nothing for that film. And technically, it should be a big deal that film's coming out, that they're rebooting that franchise again. But, it's just... I don't know, man. The Marvel thing is getting crazier and crazier, and hopefully eventually someday in the future, that it gets pulled, you know, they pull things back, so...
We'll see.
Yeah. Well, gang, we're going to have a little bit of a short show this week for you. Again, not a lot for Dave and I to talk about, and I kind of wanted to take a week off of fan questions just to kind of give you guys a break and get you guys thinking of some good questions, so when we come back next week with an all-new show, we'll have a bunch of new awesome questions, you know, from you guys that...
get to cracking.
But on one last note, something that's not toy related or anything, but something that was really sad to find out on Monday, was the fact that Legendary. Honestly, I don't think it's an arguable fact that the funniest man, technically in the world, took his life on Monday. That being the legendary comedian Robin Williams, and that to me is one of the saddest things I think that I've heard in a long, long time. And it's you know, I didn't know the man, you know, I understand that he suffered from depression. I get that, you know, people are now coming out saying that once he had gone back to rehab due to the depression, to trying to kind of center himself and get back on the course. But a lot of people are now saying by that point he was just too far gone into the depression, and there just really was no turning back for him. It's kind of sad that, you know, his end after all these years, you know, his troubles with drugs in the 70s and 80s, you know, he was hanging out with Kinison and Belushi, you know, they were doing crazy amount, you know, by all rights, you know, Robin should have been gone decades ago, much like most of the members of Aerosmith.
Yeah.
or the Rolling Stones for that matter. But, It was really sad to see
Actually,
that.
The Stones were never that into drugs.
No.
I understand.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm getting that wrong. There was some famous band that was never that into drugs.
It's really, really a sad thing. And just something, you know, I kind of want to say. There's help out there for people who think that there's, you know, there's no love or nothing left for them. You know, there's great outreach programs like the National Suicide Hotline, and there's some great things for people that think that they just can't go on. It's not true. There are people that love you. There are people that you know will, you know, horribly miss you if something like that happens.
Well, and you know, that for me, that was the flip side of it that really moved me, is the idea that all these people, you know, and for Robin, it was probably really hard, because as a celebrity, you know, everyone tells you you're awesome. And everyone tells you you're great. And everyone tells you, you know, and there was a really interesting article on crack.com today about how a lot of comedians...
It was Robin Williams' death and the five reasons why comedians...
Yeah, because a lot of comedians, that comedy in a lot of ways does come... For a lot of people, comes from a very dark place. Yeah. It's you laugh or you cry.
Yeah.
And a lot of people learn to laugh. And it's hard for that... the love and admiration to penetrate. And I think as a celebrity, it's even worse.
Yeah.
Because you get so much fake,
fake
stuff. But my takeaway was, for everybody else, you know, everyone's pointing out this love and affection for Robin, which is great, but maybe also take a minute to reach out to someone else.
Right.
Someone in your life, someone that you can, you know, maybe they're depressed, maybe they're not depressed, but you know what? You know, maybe just take that moment to reach out to someone, and I sent you a text last night telling you how much that I you're like a brother to me,
and I appreciate
and I love
that.
You. And I wanted you to know that. I it was important for me to, you know, and there are a couple other people that I told last night that you people are important to me. I love you. I care about you. You mean the world to me.
Yeah.
And I want you to know that. I don't want it to be, you know, too late.
Right.
You know, and that's the problem is we're, and you can't live your life like this all the time. But I think every now and then stopping and looking around and not accepting, but recognizing the people that are important to you and reaching out to them and letting them know that, because we do get caught up in the grind and we do get caught up in our stuff. And, you know, I mean, you get caught up in making a show like Bored and some idiot rewrites your stuff and suddenly it's like, I hate you forever!
Right.
But, you know, those are the small things. Those are the petty things. And I just think... you know, if there's any good to come from something like this, maybe just, like, all of you listening, find someone that you care about and let them know.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe they're just like, oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
And maybe it's really, maybe they really needed to hear that right then.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, that's all it takes.
That's all that matters.
So it's...
At the end of the day, all we really have are each other.
Yep. So, again, you know, it's sad. Like Dave said earlier, the show, we're all getting to the age now. Those of us that were born in the '70s and eighties are now getting to the age where the people.
Yeah, well, we talked about Harrison Ford's leg breaking like a twig. I mean, he's you know, in his 70s.
Yeah, you know, Sean Connery's still holding on, but he's darn near 90, I think.
Yeah.
You know, Steven Spielberg's getting up there. Lucas.
Spielberg and Lucas are getting up there.
You know, Ron Howard. You know, Henry Winkler, God bless him. You know, all these people that we grew up with that were mainstays in our childhood. And
we already lost Ivan Reitman.
Yeah, and Harold Ramis.
Harold Ramis.
Yeah, I was like, Reitman's
sorry.
Still, yeah. No, Reitman's didn't still
mean,
alive, gang.
Sorry, didn't mean to kill you off there.
Harold Ramis has already left us.
It was one of the Ghostbusters-related individuals.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's getting to that point. But I think it was even sadder for someone to find out we lost an amazing... talent like
you know,
Williams that
it was
way.
Mind-blowing last night, because you know, you immediately I think everyone immediately started doing the list, you know, whatever their list was, you know, Popeye, the Genie,
right,
Dead Poets Society, that was never one of my favorites, but Good Morning Vietnam, I quoted that constantly through high school. For me, one of my top five favorite TV shows is Homicide: Life on the Streets.
Correct.
And the episode that got me start watching, he guest starred, because he was friends. Barry Levinson produced that show, and he was friends with Barry Levinson. And that was the episode that got me to start watching it.
Yeah.
He got me into my favorite show. I remember when he guested on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Oh, still one of the funniest.
Which is one of my other top five favorite TV shows.
Oh,
it was like the master of the craft on my favorite show.
Yes.
It was amazing, you know. But as the night progressed, someone mentioned What Dreams May Come. Which I think is an underrated film.
Which is a very underrated film.
Someone mentioned that they were watching The Fisher King, and I was like, oh my God, are you serious? Someone mentioned The Birdcage, and my jaw hit the floor. I'm like, how... this guy's filmography was so amazing that I forgot The Birdcage, which is an amazing film.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, Moscow on the Hudson, Good Will Hunting.
Yeah. There's a very underrated movie that came out a few years ago called World's Greatest Dad, which didn't do well, but is an amazing film for him.
Ironically, that's where a lot of, like, most of the footage that people show is from, like, the the red carpet and blah, 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 for World's Greatest Dad, because that's the most recent footage.
Yeah, and of course, we're still getting four movies posthumously.
Posthumously.
Posthumously, thank you. Sorry.
You got iridescent.
Yeah. I did get iridescent earlier when we were filming.
Yeah.
You know, one of them happens to be a sequel to one of my favorite film franchises that I think a lot of people don't love, but I think it does really well. Kids love it because it's fun, and it's actually, they're well-crafted movies, but it's Night at the Museum 3. Because he plays
Teddy Roosevelt,
which those are fun movies. I think they're really, really entertaining, as well as several other films that he's doing, including one where he's the voice of a dog in a live action movie, which sounded kind of interesting. But
he was the voice of a fruit bat.
Yes, he was.
That's why he didn't want credit in Aladdin.
Oh, really?
There's something about that. Yeah, like it was like a complicated situation, so that's why he didn't really want to.
Because they used him to advertise Ferngully.
Yeah,
but that actually happened after Disney.
No,
I
think.
Did it happen before? I thought Ferngully came out before Aladdin.
No.
Right after Aladdin. But again, it's, you know, sad that, you know, we lost somebody who I took a lot of, you know, my own sense of humor from. You know, I got into him. The first time I heard him was, losing my voice, was, you know, of course, everyone remembers from Mork and Mindy, but the first time I heard his stand-up, his comedy, was Robin Williams' Night at the Met, which is still one of the funniest comedy albums of all time. It's up there with all, you know, any of Richard Pryor's stuff or George Carlin's. Night of the Met is one of the solidly funniest comedy albums that's ever been made. It's just hands down hysterical and touching, and just, it's Robin at his best. And of course, one of his recent ones, when he went back on tour a few years ago, he did a live special, and that's just as funny. He was always funny on everything he was in and everything he was on, and just sad that you know, depression is a horrible, horrible thing.
It is. Depression. And I'm going to go PG-13, maybe even R on this, because there are some people that are already doing the, you know, he was weak, he was a coward. Fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but like, unless you've been there, you have no idea what you're talking about.
A lot of people don't understand I suffer with depression every day. A lot of people don't understand that it's an imbalance in your chemical makeup. It screws with your head.
You really get into a dark place where you cannot see the light.
And luckily, you know, I suffer from depression. I know Dave suffers a bit from it.
I've had my bouts.
Dave's had his bout with it. Luckily, we are surrounded by people that love us, that care about us, that check in on us, you know, that want us to be here. I mean, we, you know, I could never imagine doing that. And I'm sure at one point, you know, Robin has said many things in public about, you know, suicide and whatnot, and it's just sad that he went the way he did. But, you know, depression is a horrible, horrible disease. It's not even a disease. It's just a horrible thing that screws with the chemical balance.
It does, and you just cannot imagine the pain. I mean, that's, you literally cannot conceive of the pain that he was going through.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really think that was his first choice, no. But he was just, you cannot imagine the pain. And so much pain that's your option.
And that's the worst thing.
You know.
So like I said at the beginning of this little conversation, to anyone who has those thoughts, who has those problems, you know, who's suffered through depression, you know, there are people out there that love you. There are places to go that you can reach out to speak with. You know, please, please, please do that. Don't choose the ultimate option, which too many people have done in the past. And it's just not, it's not cool, and it's really sad. On that note, gang, but in memory of the late great Robin Williams, instead of going out on our normal Dave and the Balls Toys and Collectibles music,
we're gonna risk getting pulled on iTunes.
Copyrights be damned, I don't care. I want to play one of my all-time favorite things that Robin Williams did, from my favorite Robin Williams movie of all time. From a little movie called Popeye, that is another underrated film that he did that I don't think gets enough love.
It's an amazing Robert Altman film.
It is an amazing Robert Altman film, and it's a cult classic, but it doesn't...
I really wanted to watch that last night, but it wasn't on demand.
Oh, I got it on DVD. You can take it home and watch it.
I was going to ask if I could borrow it.
Yeah. Great, great song that he sings about halfway through the movie that really sums up Popeye in all of his glory, as portrayed by Robin Williams. It's a song called I Am What I Am. But before I play it, gang, we'll be back next week with an all-new show. See if I can set up a guest for next week. We'll see what happens. I got some people that I want to reach out to, so we'll see what happens. If not, it'll be Dave and I back together once again. But gang, until next time, David.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
You're right there?
Yeah.
You know, Dave's losing his voice. Gang, take care. We'll see you next week.
You don't have to be no fish to tell when you're floundering. What am I, some kind of barnacles on the dinghy of your life? I ain't no doctors, but I know that I'm losing my patience. What am I, some kind of judge or lawyer? Maybe not, but I know what law suits me. So what am I? I ain't no physicist, but I knows what matters. What am I? I'm Papa, the sailor. And I am what I am, what I am, and I am what I am, and that's all that I am, cause I am what I am. You got it?
I think so, yeah.
And I've got a lot of muscle, and I only got one eye, and I never hurt nobody's, and I'll never tell a lie. Top to me bottoms, from the bottoms to me top. That's the way it is, till the days that I drop. What am I?
What am I?
I am what I am.
What am I?
I am what I am, what I am, where I am, what I am. Yeah. Wondering about myself, to be or not to be, who's asking? I can open up an ocean, I can take a lot of sail, I can lose a lot of waters, and I'll never have to bail. The coast of Madagascar grabbed a whale by the tail. What am I?